Dynamite Kid could walk. Me too. Relive those fun memories. Buckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Yes! Yes!
Get ready for another action-packed Heyo. Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. With your hosts, the Impact Player Bill Rea and Scott, a.k.a. Kid Human.
That's the bottom line, the Stone Cold Sexy.
Oh yeah. All right, broadcasting live from the Decca Dome in beautiful Staten Island, Shaolin, New York City. From the current to the way back, we are your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Heavyweight Primate, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rea. And right now, it is not 9 p.m. our time. It is actually 6 p.m. our time. And no,
Scott
is not here at the second, but he'll be calling in then checking in with us. Matter of fact, I think that's him now. I believe that is. All right. Okay. Hello, sir.
Hello. Are you taking phone calls yet? I want to call in about the pre-show.
All right. There he is. See, I told you he'd be here.
There it is.
All right, so lesson learned. Welcome to a very special edition of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. It's 6 o'clock here in New York time. Thank you very much for tuning in so early. We have an entire night of programming for you here on The Rant. That's why we're starting early tonight, so we can bring you the Ring of Honor pre-show and post-show for All-Star 8 Extravaganza. It's going to be insane. Kid Human making his way home. How is the weather there, sir, where you are?
It's bright and sunny.
It's bright and sunny?
Yeah, it's partly cloudy. I'm going to say that.
All right,
but
there.
But it's not rainy.
All right there, Storm Scott. Looking good.
I just want to apologize in advance because I do have road rage, so if you hear me blurt out obscenities, it's all good.
Nice. So, as you know, Scott is Scott checking in from his vehicle. He assured me that he's hands off. That means he's doing no hands. He's driving. He's not using his phone. And
all goes through the stereo system in the car.
There you go. He's hands-free. Then he'll join us momentarily from Casa de Scott. All right. So listen, man. It's a very special show. And Scott's got a little bit of news. And then we'll take a break. And then we'll go into our throwback. A nice throwback for you tonight, by the way. And we're live on Rant. Yeah, we're live on The Rant. We're part of the Shining Wizards Network. We're on Ustream. Thank you, everybody, for checking in on Ustream. I cleaned the room a little bit, so now you can see everything, which is cool. And anyway, so what's going on, Kid Human?
It's been a long week. Working those two jobs all week. This is the first day I have off from that night job.
I just got a second job myself. I got to take a class first, which is weird, for OSHA. I'll tell you about that later on, but yeah, I got a side hustle coming in a couple of weeks. I'm very excited about that.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, extra cash is good. Extra cash is good. And it's good when your side hustle's easy. You know, when you have an easy side hustle. You know.
Yeah.
So. Well, I'm glad.
You know what I like about side hustle?
What's that?
I'm getting, number one, it's extra cash. Number two, I fucking looked at my phone the other night with this little fitness thing I had. I walked 8 fucking miles on this job.
8 miles?
8 miles.
Oh, God. You're gonna be svelte.
Yeah. Dropping some LBs and working.
Look at you. Who's better than you right now?
Who's got it better than me?
And I don't think anybody really at this point.
No.
No. All right. So let's talk some news if you have any. I don't have anything really.
I don't have my notes, but I know a few of the topics I looked at. First thing, we all know Cody Rhodes, or should we just call him Cody?
Cody
is supposedly going to Bound for Glory, depending on from the circumstances this evening. He's only there for a short gig to work with a stint with Bennett, and then he's out of TNA. And he'll be showing up at ROH, actually, for your event in December.
Oh, Final Battle. Yes.
Yeah, and he's going to go to New Japan and work with New Japan as well. He's booked for that.
We kind of thought he'd do that route, which is cool. We kind of called that a few months ago, you and I.
Yeah, so he's there for a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kick some, fight the fucking Michael Bennett, the Miracle.
With his hot
ass. He's out of there.
Oh, I like to see, Bennett and Cody Rhodes is a headliner, man.
Yeah,
especially if they give Mike Bennett the belt. I know Bobby Lashley, EC3. We'll talk about TNA in a minute, but I'd love to see Mike Bennett with that title, man. I'd love to see it.
From what I heard, it was in his contract that he was going to have this champion. You know, assuming things go longer.
Yeah, Matt Squire is checking in the chat room. He says Scott's always hands free with me. Heyo.
He doesn't like the hands. He doesn't like touching.
Yeah.
I'm taking your road report, Gig Squires.
So, all right.
Right now, I'm passing the bill to the handicap.
Heyo. Heyo. All right.
Okay. Speaking of contracts, there is talk about the Best of 7 series with Cesaro and Sheamus. The reason why it ended that way is because they're unsure what Cesaro is going to do when his contract expires in a few months.
Really?
He hasn't re-signed yet, so they don't want to put him in a championship picture. So they could figure they could give him a little, if he doesn't re-sign, he's in a tag team picture, and it's not affecting a lot of stuff. But if he does re-sign, they could always push him again, coming out of it.
So let me ask you something then. But why fuck with the fans and make that shitty ending where you could either let Sheamus win or some kind of disqualification or... Don't do a draw after 6 matches, man. That was just like a smack in the face.
I agree. And, you know, especially after a 3-0 comeback, you know, he's down 3-0 and he comes back to tie it, and then it's like no winner. Come on, guys. You got to give us better stories than that.
Yeah, I got to agree there, man. I don't like that at all. I read that the next day because I couldn't watch the pay-per-view. I watched it finally. It took me like a day, like 2 days to watch it. But I was like, you know, this is not right, man. This ain't
right.
And
it was a good match.
It was a good match, but why you're gonna inundate the fans with this nonsense when your contract is? I could see if his contract was up like after Raw the next night. Then you say fucking all right. Then you know you don't make him win. But why would you do something like that? You know.
Yeah,
makes no sense.
Just give him the fucking title push, man. The fans.
Yeah, he's solid.
And the deal I was reading is, you know, for No Mercy, it's the IC belt versus Korea. What they're thinking, his contract is not up until sometime next year. So they don't know if he wants to take some time. He was thinking about taking some time off to nurse. So, because he's been going for years straight, basically since the concussion that he suffered back in 13.
So he's not going to... Right, so he's not going to film the Marine 8? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know what they're going to do with him. But they said if he loses the match, he's going to take some time off and come back repackaged as something different.
Yeah.
But if you know it's Dolph Ziggler, then that's, you know, what are you going to do, fucking... Instead of Curry Man, what are they going to call him? I don't fucking know. You know?
Yeah.
He's going to pull the Christopher Daniels gimmick? You got to come better than that.
Yeah, they won't put a mask on people anymore unless you're from, like, Mexico or Japan. The masked wrestler is a lost art within the States, dude. I don't see that I don't think I... unless you're in Chikara, which is... That's commonplace.
Or Lucha.
I said Mexico and Japan. But I'm talking about the States.
Yeah.
Unless you're in Chikara, which mass wrestlers are, I mean, it's character-based. So unless you're in Chikara, Mexico, or Japan, I don't see the mass making a return anytime soon to any kind of shit like that. It's a lost art, dude.
No.
It's a lost
art. Yeah, and they made La Sombra take his off. They wouldn't even give it back to him.
Yeah, that's just... You know what, though? It's good for him, though, because if he goes back to Mexico, he can always put the mask on and come back as another gimmick or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
You know, losing the mask now is not... I mean, Ray Ray lost his mask. Look where it got him. It got him a world championship, you know? So,
yep.
I mean, that stuff's not... Losing the mask is not as... Again, and that's also a lost art. Losing the mask is not as pertinent as it was back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
So...
What else? Jamie Noble.
Yeah, he got stabbed, right? Did I read that right?
Yeah, he got stabbed twice after an altercation at his trailer park.
First of all, WWE paying him that much, that less, I mean, to be, and he lives in a trailer park?
You know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, dude, you're in a fucking, why are you in a trailer park? You're working for a good fucking solid company, you know?
Either he's saving his pennies, or he's got a side piece that lives out there.
Yeah.
You know? Have you ever been to West Virginia?
Not where he is, but I've been to parts of it.
Oh. It's not a nice place unless you go into the mountains. It's really, there's really nothing to home about. Even that's a stretch. No disrespect to anybody who lives in West Virginia. It's just not a nice place visually when I was there anyway.
It's not my gig.
No, not my bag, baby. No way.
I'll hang out around Bluefield and Princeton because they're major cities for West Virginia.
Yeah.
That's about it. You know, that's where I'll go.
I was on the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, West Virginia border, and it was like fucking, I walked into a 7-Eleven, it was all like tobacco and NASCAR hats, you know?
Yeah.
You couldn't even buy chips in there. Kids were eating, you know, chew. You know? So,
Daddy, I need a dip.
Daddy, can I get some dip with my Frito Lays?
Where's Grandma, Mama, Auntie?
Grandma, Mama, Auntie. Heyo.
Yeah. So he got stabbed in the like upper back and the lower spine area.
Mm.
The two guys fled in the car. And he was taken to the ER, where he was then admitted, and nobody, that's the furthest I've read and reports were going.
Yeah.
But yeah, but, you know, speedy recovery to Jamie Noble.
Yeah, and WWE, man, throw something extra in his fucking paycheck, man.
Yeah, I mean, at least he's fucking Slater's got a double wide. You know, I mean, I guess that's what happens when you get beat up by Brock and smacked with a car door.
I don't know, man.
Had to sell his real house for medical bills.
Oh, man. I read Trailer Park and I was like, God, that was trash. I said, I'm hoping it's just a side piece. I'm hoping he doesn't live there, you know?
Shadowwood Trailer Park.
That's what his Gumata is. That's what his Gumata is.
That's where his sister lives.
That's where his Guma's sister? Heyo.
What else did I have in the news? Nobody recently got signed anywhere. WWE held NXT tryouts today.
Yes.
Yes.
I know.
So
my man Eddie Kingston.
Yeah. Yeah.
If anybody's a fan of Eddie Kingston, as I am, I know he put on some weight that he lost it. The guy is tremendous. Ring of Honor, Chikara, Indies, Jersey All-Pro. Like, the guy was grand champion in Chikara. You know? And I saw him last year at Pro Wrestling Syndicate before they split. But the guy is a talent. If they could sign Eddie Kingston, oh, what a gem. Yonkers represent.
They definitely need to restock their fucking talent pool down there.
Yeah, Triple H cherry picked all the good guys. Now I gotta get the next crop of people. I agree.
Yeah. And speaking of cherry picking, Kota Ibushi has signed a contract with the WWE, but it's a per appearance contract. It's not to any time, you know, limit. He's not under any commitment. He's getting paid per appearance, which is going to allow him and Hideo Itami to team up in the expansion of the Dusty Classic. Expanded it to, because when I went off the round, the tapings a couple of weeks ago, it was only 8 teams that were in it. They're expanding it to 16 now.
Correct.
Gargano and Ciampa were also added to it, as well as a couple of other teams. So, yeah, they've expanded their tag team thing, which I think is good. You know, the more teams in there, the better.
Right.
Speaking of which, Gallagher, Ciampa, and one other guy have finished with their, is it Progress over there? Is that what it's called, Progress?
In England, yes.
In England, yes. They finished their commitments to Progress, and they had their goodbye matches the other night. And we all know that those two out of the three, I can't remember the other guy's name, but he wasn't, you know, those two were coming as a cruiserweight, so there you go.
And rightfully so.
It also looks like Gargano and Ciampa are going to be splitting time between Raw and NXT, not fully committed to one show as of right now.
As a tag team, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
But they're also in the cruiserweight division on Raw.
Gotcha. So they're going to be a team on both brands, and then they're going to be individually in the cruiserweight division.
Yes.
Okay. That's more merrier for us.
Yeah. You know, and Gallagher, I mean, I love that guy's style. He was great.
Yeah. Yeah, he's solid.
I mean, if he can't, I mean, what have you been thinking about the cruiserweights on Raw? I mean, I like the matches, but the crowd just seems flat.
I don't give much into the crowd. I'm not gonna eat the crowd. I'm not even gonna bother with it. I'm at this point with that particularly. I'm more focused on the matches. You know, if this was like a cruiserweight pay per view or a cruiserweight like special, like, you know, like if it's just regular shows, I can care less. But if it's a special event and the crowd's not into it, and I'm not, then I try not to get emotionally invested in it. You know.
I hear you.
But that's just me. I mean, I agree, though. The crowd was horrendous. I agree.
I don't know if it's because they really don't know these guys, like, you know.
But, I mean, but Scott, I'm sorry to cut you off, but even a casual fan, dude, how do you not know now? I mean, WWE does a very good job in covering these guys. You got the app, you got the .com, you got the interwebs, you got the dirt sheets, you got the marks. I mean, at this point in the game, if you're there for a cruiserweight match, you should know who everybody is, man.
Yeah.
You know, unless I'm like, you know, oblivious to what's going on with these younger people, I have no idea. But I mean, come on, man. If you're under a rock or something, it ain't, you know, 1994. You know.
Yeah. There's a lot of different ways to get your news.
I agree, man. I totally agree. I totally agree. Anyway. All right.
Sonny. Back in jail.
Back in jail.
Violating probation.
Yeah, I saw the mugshots. Terrible.
Yeah. So I don't know what she did, if she failed the drug test, missed the drug test, or what she did, but she violated her probation, and it was like a no tolerance policy of drinking, like not even a sip.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I remember her being on the Wizards podcast, and she told them that she enjoyed jail. So I really don't feel sorry for her anymore, you know?
No, I mean, she stayed 3 months in a rehab facility, and now look at her.
Right.
What, less than 2 months later, if even?
Pretty much.
So she was back in jail. This was to get rid of her DUIs that she had, the 3 DUIs. You know, good thing she's not a resident of California. She'd be in fucking death row. Well, life in jail with her third strike.
Yeah, again, man, I mean, how many, they pay for your rehab. They do all that shit. You know, how do you not take advantage of that, dude? How do you not take advantage of that? And then go pick yourself up. She put some weight on. She was, like, dating again. She was doing that, you know, the cam stuff with the pay her and she'll show you her goodies. She was selling her book and her, she did the porn. Like, she was making some dough. Like, I don't understand the process. You know, I don't.
Me either.
I guess you got to be a junkie or a person of that has some kind of abuse, you know, with the alcohol and all this other stuff. So hold on a second.
Yeah. I mean, even Kurt Angle, even when he was in TNA, took advantage of WWE paying for his rehab and he cleaned himself up.
Yeah, exactly, man. I don't understand. I really don't get it.
People, what are you gonna do?
No, nothing. You're gonna, you know, just pray that they get better. You know.
Yeah, but I think she's gonna end up probably the next one on the list, or one of the next three.
Yeah,
where she's going. It's sad.
No, it's extremely sad. It's extremely sad. I agree. I mean, she's such a nice person too. Like, you know, I met her a few times at the convention.
Right.
I mean, she's a sweetheart of a person. You know.
Yeah, we all got our demons. I mean, even Scott Hall had a relapse a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. You just got to pray. Get
the fuck out of the road. Sorry. Scott, the street just didn't happen.
Scott has Tourette's. He has road rage Tourette's. I think I just found the name of our episode tonight.
To road rage.
Road rage Tourette's.
Okay, well, I am pulling in my driveway. Take the helm for about 5 minutes, and I will be back on.
You want to take a break when you come back, or take a break now?
Whatever you want to do.
All right, no, we'll take a break now, and Kid Human should be ready to go by then, and we'll be right back.
All right.
All right, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We're live on Rant EM Radio. Kid Human's going to take a break, and he's going to get settled, and I'm going to grab some dinner and come back in a couple minutes. And I'm going to let Lord Alfred Hayes take us home. Take us home, Lord Alfred Hayes.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, you. Thank you so much for downloading this. We really appreciate it. Please continue to support the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast by going to iTunes and Stitcher and leaving a review. Go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com, get all of our back catalog as well as all of our friend shows. Go to rantemradio.com, click on the live link every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, all of our friend shows over there as well. We have 4 different T-shirts. You want to rock our gear? Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Get the fresh gear right now. Of course, as always, thank you so much for supporting the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We appreciate it, and we love you all. Peace.
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. 4 hot studs from New Jersey, guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly uncensored and anti-PC look at entertainment, pop culture, professional wrestling, and current events. We also do a weekly top 10 list and fan casting. You can find our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or the Satchel app for Android. or you can download direct from Libsyn. So come on out of your safe space and join us in the real world, won't you?
Hey, you. Yeah, you over there. If you're into professional wrestling, heavy metal music, and getting hammered, Neckbreaker Podcast was designed just for you.
Wrestling headlines, metal panels, and guest interviews with past alumni, including Suffocation, Eric Bischoff, Hammerfall, Chris Jericho, and many more.
Grab a 30 rack and listen to Neckbreaker on iTunes, The Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, The Blast Syndicate, or just grab the episodes right now from neckbreaker.net. Cheers and beers.
What?
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Play that Fish. Role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
He said he only smacked her once,
but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything but the kitchen sink now, dog. But I'm saying,
did you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Natty is more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, Works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show. You call yes, Works.
That was so disrespectful.
Nah,
see, I can't have you.
That's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, Surfer.
Tony.
You never ever questioned your manhood.
You did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Umesi, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Turnbuckle, Throwback Radio, Rant, EM Radio. Oh, yeah. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back. Terminal Throwbacks, live on Rant EM Radio. The Impact Player, Philly Ray, and Mr. Kid Human.
Yeah.
New Metallica. I love it, and I'm going to get shit for it, but I love the second song. I like two songs already.
Yeah, it definitely changed your style.
It's not as stripped down as the last one, which is Death Magnetic, and obviously because Rick Rubin produced the last one, you know how he is. Less is good, but they... Dude, I like them sober, man. I'm not going to lie about it. Just tight, dude. Just fucking tight. I love it. They don't have to be drunk to dope to be dopey and, you know, great. I mean, I don't understand, but... I don't know. I like it. Anyway. All right. Are you settled? Are you good? Do you need some more time, or...?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah.
All right. Something we didn't talk about while you were hands-free in the car.
What's that?
TNA.
Yeah.
You know? Listen, they've been calling for their demise for about a decade now. So I don't put much stock in anything unless I see, like, a statement from the company. Now, I've been reading all week, and I know you have been too, that Billy Corgan's trying to get, like, major stock in the company and trying to buy the – pretty much trying to buy the company.
Yep.
Again, I don't – listen, I don't know what to believe anymore. You know, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, believe a dirt sheet and, Vince is trying to buy it. And like I said on the video today while I was filming the video, unless – the hell was that? But unless Vince wants to buy the library, that's the only reason. That's the only way he would want to buy TNA.
Yeah, that's what he's going for.
That's what he would have to go for. What I mean, are you gonna buy TNA? What are you gonna do with TNA? Are you gonna promote it? Are you gonna send people there? Are you gonna run it? Or are you just gonna buy it out like you did WCW? They don't have it.
Probably buy it out, take some talent, and that's it.
You know. Half that talent is WWE rejects anyway. EC3, Bobby Lashley, guys like that, you know? I heard about Bully Ray's going back, so, you know. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. You know, Vince is like, I'll wait for the last minute and come in and give you the dirt cheapest price.
The number I'm hearing is $40 million.
Yes.
Now, $40 million is a point guard in the NBA off the bench. You know, $40 million is a middle relief pitcher.
Yeah, but this is including their debt, and Vince doesn't want to pay the debt.
So $40 million, in hindsight, is not a lot in the sports world. However, like Scott said, you're inheriting a debt, too. So, but you know what, though? He inherited WCW's debt, too. You know, I mean, he... Time Warner lost a gazillion dollars on that deal when they bought it from Turner.
Yeah.
Like, they were bleeding money. You know what I'm saying? Dixie Carter's been bleeding money since even when they had Panda.
Yeah.
So, I don't know the logic behind it unless you're going for the video library. Then I say, okay, go ahead. Have a go. But, you know, I mean, I know Vince did some stuff with Paulie back in the day. With ECW, but that was different. That was more like, okay, I'm going to scratch my back, you scratch mine. I'm going to pay for some of your bills. Give me some of your talent. And they don't want none of the talent.
I think they would take a couple of people at most. I would take Bennett.
Of course, yeah. I would take Moose. I would take EC3, you know. I would take those guys. However, when ECW did it with Vince... You had guys like Taz and Rob Van Dam and the Dudleys. You had guys, marketable guys. Now, I'm not saying these other guys aren't marketable. I'm just saying, like, it was a different time. It was 19, 20 years ago, you know? And and they even had, like, the invasion angle with, like, Jerry Lawler and, you know, when they hit Tommy Dreamer in the nuts with the kendo stick and he had to have his nuts drained. Remember that? Like, legit, had to have his balls drained in the ER. That's crazy. They hit him in the ball so hard they had to get he had fluid retention. But again, I'm not believing anything, Kid Human, until I see a bill of sales or I see like a statement from TNA or Dixie Carter or something like that. Apparently, AA put it on Facebook a couple hours ago that they couldn't They don't have a pre-show for their pay-per-view, which is Bound for Glory is their WrestleMania, which is this weekend, which is Sunday, I believe.
Yeah.
And apparently they don't have a pre-show now. They can't afford it, apparently. They can't afford a lot of things. They couldn't afford flights for the wrestlers. Listen, again, these are dirt sheets, you know. I think even Meltzer put something out on it. And
Meltzer said that Vince wants them to sign a no-compete clause.
Why? Like, what's the logic behind that? And Meltzer normally is the guy. If anything, if you want to, if you're a smart mark and you want to hug the nuts on the dirt sheets, Meltzer's your guy. You know, he's been doing it for a gazillion years, like him or not, kayfabe or not, he's the guy. So if he said, I want the logic behind it, though. Tell me why Vince would do that. What, no compete clause. Like, for what? For 30, 40 guys? Half of them you're not even going to use? You've already taken all their good guys. You took Eric Young. You took Bobby Roode. You took a bunch of dudes from there. You took Joe. You took AJ. You know what I'm saying? Like, you took a bunch of their dudes.
Yeah.
You took Punk, who was there. Like
Aries.
You took a bunch of guys. Like, I don't get the logic in it at all. So I don't want to drink the Kool-Aid, so to speak, until I know for sure that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know. If you feel the same way, I don't know how you feel about it, but
I would just like to see. It's just like I feel. Just kick them off the cliff already. Just get rid of them. I mean, this is every 6 weeks. This is going on. They're scrambling for money to find this and find that. Billy Corgan is worth $40 million as a person. And that's what he's trying to put up to buy it. But he has no investors in this.
Right. He wants to do it for Dolo, and he'd rather have more people invest with him. Which is a smart move, because if it's a loss, then he don't take the full hit. You know?
Right.
I think he I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to say, given their history, nobody's going to invest in them.
You know, a lot of it is not unwatchable. Lately, I say that lightly because my glass is always half full when it comes to pro wrestling. Everybody knows that. However, I'll dog it if I don't like it. And that's also commonplace here as well. We both do that. I think all of our peers do that. Some of it is not bad. I feel like they need a reboot. And I think Surfer mentioned that a couple of weeks ago on a rant. He goes, they should just get a reboot. You know, if Billy Corgan's going to buy the company, lay low for the rest of the year. You got 3 months. Lay low. Come back hard in January. If you're going to keep that Dirty Pop, that deal, stay on the Dirty Pop. You know, play fucking reruns and best ofs till the end of the year, and then go hard in you know, with a whole new format. The Hardy thing worked for them. The Brother Nero delete shit, that all worked.
But how long can that go?
You're right. I'm just saying it worked for them. They can build on that with other guys. I'm not saying give everybody that gimmick. I'm just saying they can build on that and give them guys somebody to fight. You know, there are people there in place that can make that whole organization better. There's just something that's missing. It's like, let me give you a stupid metaphor. It's like with us, with our heritage, your grandma's in the kitchen cooking Sunday sauce, right?
Yep.
And, you know, she doesn't add something that, you know, once you taste it, you're like, oh, I love this sauce, but there's something missing. There's always something missing with TNA, man. I don't get it. And you've had Hogan, you've had Flair, you've had Sting, you've had Joe, you had Punk, you have AJ, Christopher Daniels. You had guys there that were amazing. Jay Lethal, like the X Division, American, whatever those guys call those cowboys.
America's Most Wanted.
AMW, right. Fucking, you had Triple X, Team Canada. I can go on. I love Petey Williams.
Don't forget, The dude, Hernandez and Homicide.
Oh, my God, LAX.
Yeah.
With Conan with crippled Conan.
Yeah.
With crippled Conan. So, again, they have things in place. I don't know what's missing. Is it
direction?
Right.
And a knowledgeable person to run the company, not Dixie Carter.
Right. And, you know, listen, We all know what happened to WCW when Jim Herd tried to run WCW. Now, we all know Jim Herd was the Pizza Hut guy, right?
Yeah.
He didn't know his ass. You need, listen, I know they don't want to have the inmates run the asylum again, but you have to have somebody in the office that knows professional wrestling, like Scott just said. You don't, and Dixie Carter, you're a super fan. I get it. You're a hot MILF with a dead eye. I get that too. I mean, but you have to understand, you know, you're not doing a product that's due diligence. You're not giving the fans what they deserve, because they still have, they're still bringing in money from all over the world. Like TNA is huge in England. It's huge in India. It's huge in Australia. Their international market is amazing. They go fucking nuts for TNA out there, which baffles me because those fans are pretty smart fans. I mean, especially the UK contingency that we deal with on they're all smart fans of wrestling. So again, they're missing direction. You know, they book good matches. Some of their matches are really good. Their talent is really good. So it's like, I don't know, it's like having a dance number, a routine, like with the Rockettes, and you're not having any, there's no choreographer. Okay, girls, just go on the stage and just dance. Dance your fucking ass off and just pretend that you know what you're doing. I'm not going to give any steps, anything, just fucking go. And that's what TNA is. TNA is an unchoreographed show. You know?
Yep.
It is. It's sad that they had good TV deals. They had amazing. They had legends. Legend. Kurt Angle. They had. Come on, man. I can't put them over enough.
RVD.
Yeah. Was your world champion. You know, like, I don't know, man. I feel sorry for him. I almost feel like Sonny sorry for him, you know?
Yeah. Hey, if you got your Facebook pulled up, just see what I tagged you in.
Hold on one second, Kid Human. I actually do. I do. Oh, my sweet Christ, Kid Human. What are you doing to me right now?
Sweet freaking Christmas.
Let me tell the masses what Phil was doing today after 1 p.m. this afternoon. So I went out and got some provisions, and I got a message from one of my friends like, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it. And then I got a message from Rage, and he was like, I'm not doing nothing until the pay-per-view tonight but watching Luke Cage. And I'm like, oh, my God. Someone just mentioned that to me. I played the first three episodes. After the first episodes, Kid Newman, I called me to do some show prep for tonight, and I said, Scott, I am so amped that I want to go to Harlem right now and just beat people up. And you have to understand something.
That's a direct quote.
That is a quote. I'm not even sure to quote it. When I was a kid, and I think I told the story on this show or somebody else's show. When I was a kid, I had an uncle who was about 5 years older than me, and he would give me all of his used comics. The ripped covers, no covers. And one of the first couple of books I got were ROM, Spider-Man, and Power Man and Iron Fist. And it was all like that 70s exploitation, heroes for hire. It was so good, but I had no clue. I was like, you know, 8 years old, 9 years old. I was my son's age, just wanting to read a comic book. I was in awe of the comic book itself. Very well done. People didn't like Jessica Jones. I don't know why you didn't like Jessica Jones. Some people didn't even like Daredevil. You're out of your fucking minds. Netflix is doing Marvel a justice.
Yeah, they are.
Please, listen, pay the $8 a month. Even if you're not going to watch any movies, just watch their Marvel library now.
Yeah, their TV shows, if you want to watch a good one, it's called Peaky Blinders.
I didn't see that one yet.
It's a British show. It's really good.
It's British.
Like 1920s, their crime family's rise.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, Marco Polo. What else did I watch on there? The Get Down, which is amazing. The Get Down was our childhood, pretty much. But yeah, Netflix is coming correct. They put Supergirl on there, season one, if you're a DC person, you know. But now that Disney has Marvel, they're doing all the Marvel stuff on there now. Please, guys, do yourselves a favor. Luke Cage is so dope. Well casted.
So what I posted is 2 Funko Pops coming out early next year. One is the 70s comic version of Luke Cage, and the other one is the current Jessica Jones Luke Cage.
Yeah. Yeah. People are already commenting on it. I don't know why you wouldn't like the old one. Well, I know why, because you're fucking 20 years younger than me, that's why. But anyway, either way, it holds a special place with me, Power Man and Iron Fist.
Yeah.
So, costumes aside, I can't wait for Iron Fist is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
If Power Man's good, Iron Fist has to be just as good or even better.
Yeah.
So.
You know who they got to play him, right?
The Danny Rand, the British guy, right? The guy who, the hell was he in again? I know who he is.
He was in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
He played the brother.
Yes.
Tyrell brother.
He was Tyrell's brother, right. Right, yes. Yes, I just couldn't remember as who he played prior, but yes. Big fan. Big fan of the Power Man and Iron Fist. But yeah, that's what I did today. I watched Luke Cage. The first three episodes, and the last episode ended with like a major cliffhanger, and I'm like, you son of a bitch, it's 4:30, I gotta get up and do this fucking show now.
I'd have been like, look at the next time, 52 minutes, that would put me at 5.2. Yeah, I could do this.
Yeah, if I was single and didn't have to cook dinner, so I had to cook I had to cook dinner, clean the room behind me so everybody doesn't have to look at my dirty laundry behind me while I'm broadcasting on Ustream. I put the banner up, the old banner.
The one that fell down behind Mega Powers?
Yes. Mega Powers Mega Powers' name is not on there anymore. I took it off. Thank you, Sharpie. I'm going to either put a big piece of tape and put your name on it, or I'm just going to get a new banner, because I'm going to get a new banner anyway. Speaking of new banners, it's pretty much been confirmed today, this morning, and I'll let Scott know behind the scenes that I will be at WrestleMania next year. It's official. We were planning to go. All of us were going to meet and get down there, the rant guys. But something happened this morning that was magical. I'm still in shock, and I'll tell Scott later on what happened. But I'm probably going to be at WrestleMania. I'm hoping Scott can make it to WrestleMania as well. Most of the rant guys will be there as well, so we're going to have like a nice bunch of the whole crew most likely will be down there, hopefully. We just have to get Surfer down there. But that might be an issue because the mega bus doesn't go down to Florida, and none of us are driving. So, so I don't know what to tell him.
It goes to Atlanta, so Will Morgan could pick him up.
You know, that's true. You know, if Morgan's coming down, Surfer could take the mega bus to Atlanta and meet up with Will Morgan, then he could drive the rest of the way and grab you on the way if you don't want to drive. You know, and then we'll be all right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm excited about WrestleMania next year for the rant, for Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And we got to, you know, I mean, even if Scott can't make it, we're still going to Skype him in. But I'd rather have you there because I haven't seen you in 20 years anyway. So it'd be nice to see you. And
I know.
It. So we could do that. And now you have an incentive to work on getting down there now, because I will be down there. And I can't say why, because it's kind of a surprise and to somebody else. And just, it's a big deal. I'll tell you later on. But I'm excited about the next couple of months here, because we got a lot of good shows lined up for you guys, and we have some really, you know, good stuff coming up. So keep it locked on to all of our affiliates, and we'll be all right.
Yes.
Any more TNA talk, or we're good with TNA?
Let's see what I got here. No, we're good on TNA.
Any other news?
NXT superstar Elias Sampson returned from injury this week with in-ring action at the NXT Live event in Lakeland.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he teamed with, they're saying, Wolf and Fulton in a losing effort to TM61 and Ty Dillinger.
Who's teaming with Bobby Roode, right, in the tournament?
Yes.
Oh.
The Glorious 10?
Is that what they call themselves?
They should.
That's
now,
awesome.
Elias teaming with Wolf and Fulton is a little bit weird because, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, those two are Insanity. So is this going to be a fifth member to that flock with Eric Young and Nikki Cross?
Good question.
That would be interesting. He would fit in with those guys with his gimmick.
Good question. Good question, my friend. I don't know.
And The other thing is, did you happen to catch the KO interview with
ESPN? No.
No. They asked him about his son's name, how it's a reference to Owen Hart, and you know, Owen Hart was one of his favorites growing up, so he named him after Owen Hart.
Right.
They asked him who he likes to work with and who he wants to work with. And with a stone dead face, he said, "I want Brock." Plain and simple.
There you go. There you go. Yep. Is that going to pique my interest, though? Is it piquing your interest? Because I read that. I read that. I didn't hear the interview, but somebody wrote that he said that.
Yeah.
Is it piquing you? You want to see him in KO?
Yeah.
You think it'll go?
Like, yes.
All right. I don't know. I want to say I want to see it. Obviously, I want to see it. I'm thinking about it and I'm processing it. And I'm like, because Brock is Brock. You know what I'm saying? And you don't know what Brock you're gonna get. You know. So if he doesn't bring his shit to that night and KO has to carry him, I think it's gonna suck. It'll be like Goldberg and him at WrestleMania if one of them don't come correct. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm hoping that they're on the same page. And that Brock wants to play. You know what I'm saying? Because that bothers me. Two things bother me about Brock Lesnar. That one, he's a part-timer, and he's really not emotionally invested anymore. He's just in it for the money, which I guess at this stage of his life, he might as well be. But, you know, that bothers me. And also what bothers me is that he could, you know, potentially fuck up a match.
Yeah. If he doesn't want to do it, he'll just go in there and no-sell.
And you can't no-sell with KO, man. KO is a complete package right now. He's the guy. You know, he is the guy. I don't know.
I mean, they could put on a damn good match.
Yeah, I agree. I'm saying this even for KO. If one of the guys don't bring it, it's gonna suck.
Yep.
So. Anyway, all right, what else you got?
The updated card for No Mercy. You got it's Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. What we were promised last month but didn't get. As I mentioned earlier, The Miz versus Ziggler, Belt versus Korea. Your tag team championship is Slater and Rhino versus the Usos. Then your women's championship is Alexa Bliss versus Becky Lynch in the Scott Wins No Matter What Happens match. And you have your WWE World Championship with Styles defending against Ambrose and Cena. And that's your updated No Mercy card.
There you go. AJ holds on to the belt for a while now.
I think so. I think Cena's supposedly, from what I was reading, he's leaving to film some stuff. So they're not going to put it back on Ambrose right away. I think AJ holds it to at least a Rumble or even Mania. And I can't see him taking it. He deserves a healthy run with it, you know, not this 2 months fucking pass it around, you know.
Right.
Months pass.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, if you can get a good 6, 8, 10 month run in, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And speaking of long runs, how many fucking teams are going to job to New Day?
I was disappointed. Yes, Shining Wizard Tony, it's on. Shining Wizard Tony checking in the chat room.
Yeah, I don't think there was audio in the chat room. There isn't.
There isn't, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me see. No, it says it's live. I don't know.
Yeah, but I just turned up the volume. I don't hear it.
Hold on. Let me see. Let me see here. Hold on. Oh, no. The rant is on. It's record. It says I'm on the air. I don't know. This might be a feed. Issue. If there's a feed issue, guys, switch over to Ustream. We're doing it live on Ustream. It says that I'm transmitting. and had Tony C talking. I don't know. I apologize. If you could just tell him to go into the Ustream, I guess. I don't know. It's not me, guys. It's the feed. So it ain't easy to do on my phone at work. You guys are loud and clear on the website. Okay, there it is. I hear it. Okay.
Okay.
I'm broadcasting.
Okay.
All right. So sorry about that, guys. I don't know what's going on with the feed. Hopefully we don't have the issue at 8 o'clock. We're going to actually do the throwback and maybe end about 5-10 minutes early so we can just prep for the next we have another event coming up. We have two more events tonight, guys, by the way.
Yeah.
So, anyway, all right. Are you getting a link to the pay-per-view?
No, I can't. Streams are as hard as hell to find. I'm going to try and find one.
Yeah, because if I wasn't ordering it on pay-per-view, I would, you know, I would send you a link, but I don't have, obviously.
Yeah.
Maybe I can mirror it. I don't know. Maybe I can mirror it from the Apple. I'll work out something. Just keep your computer nearby. All right.
Yeah.
What the hell are we saying now?
Oh,
New Day. Yes.
Yeah.
So obviously Monday was a very terrible day for me emotionally. And on the way home, I was with Mega Powers and Rage. And, you know, we were talking about it. You know, just to get my mind off things. Mega Powers brought up the pay-per-view. And I said, I didn't see it. We talked about New Day. I'm like, you know, maybe it'd be cool if they dropped the belts like tonight on Raw for the 400th day, you know?
Yep.
But they think they're going to go after Demolition's record.
It's like 487, isn't it?
Yeah, it's another fucking rest of the year.
That's fucking Rumble.
That's exactly it. I don't get it, you know? Here's my issue. And this is Scott's issue, too. You said it. Why would you have all these teams, good teams, jobbing to these guys? You know? I don't...
Yeah.
So... Are they still so over? I'm done with the New Day. You done with the New Day?
It's getting there.
It's getting there.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. That fucking Halloween shirt is pretty damn sweet.
Yeah, you posted that. I'm not... Yeah.
You know...
I'd rather...
I think they're funny, but their gimmick is getting old. If they were to drop the belts, you might look at them differently, but it's like... They beat the Dudleys. They beat the Usos. You know, all these top-tier teams. They beat the club. And who else – the only team they haven't beaten is Enzo and Cass.
Besides
Enzo and Cass, the only other tag team on Raw is the Shining Stars.
I like Enzo and Cass, but for – are they tag team champion material? No. They're very over. They're like the new day. They come out. They cut their shtick. They do the how you doing. They do the, they do this gimmick. What is it?
And what do you know? We got a couple of haters.
Which I love. We made a soundbite out of it, obviously. But, you know, are Enzo and Kaz your tag team champions better than Gallows and Anderson?
That's what I'm saying.
I'd rather Gallows and Anderson with the belts, but I don't know. It's a shitty situation.
All right, so they just posted the new class of recruits on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's five guys and five girls.
Eddie Kingston, man. That's all I really care about is Eddie Kingston. I want Eddie Kingston so bad to get a shot. He's been busting his balls in the indies the last several years, man. I'm an Eddie Kingston guy, so.
You got Babatunde Agabusi.
I went to school with his mother. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Stands 6'9", 350.
Well, of course he does.
Bianca Belair.
Okay.
Nikola Bogojevic.
Okay.
Is that a guy or a girl? It doesn't say.
I'm not even looking, kid human.
Caroline Dunning.
Mm-hmm.
Macy Estrella. Nicola Glencross, also known as Nikki Storm.
Mm-hmm.
But she's supposedly in there already. She's part of fucking Sanity. I don't know. Oh, you know why? I think her shtick just ended too. That's the third person that I was talking about in progress.
Then that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay.
Terrence Jean-Jacques.
Okay, if you say so.
Danielle Camella.
Mm-hmm.
Trained with Rikishi and Gangrel.
That's the Gold Rush Wrestling Federation in Cali.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's their fed.
She was an on-air talent with Fox Sports Arizona, a Phoenix Sun dancer, and a Cardinals cheerleader.
Of course she was. What else is she doing?
Making a couple of dollars.
Making a couple of... Well, what do we know? We got a couple of dollars over here. Boogaloogaloo.
You got Mikey Nichols.
Mikey... Dude, you know Mikey Nichols from 98th Street, okay? That guy. That guy.
This guy's from Perth, Australia, though.
Fuck that. No, we know who Mikey Nichols is. That guy's been moving nickel bags since the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Mikey Nichols.
And then you had his cousin, Johnny Dimes.
Johnny Dimes over here. All right.
And
what
then Shane Variza.
Okay.
Shane Haste, he goes by. 11 years of experience with Noah, who was a 2-time heavyweight tag championship with Nichols and Explosive Pro Wrestling. And this new class will join a group of 69 men and women who are already at the Performance Center, including those 7 Chinese guys we went over about a month ago.
Your Chinese is impeccable, by the way.
Oh, my God. That was fucking horrendous.
Honestly, you didn't do that bad, considering. Because I've butchered fucking Japanese names where I got abused by that other guy used to work here.
Ah, bad.
You know, but... and I'm pretty good with patient, like... I have a pet peeve about myself when I used to work on the ambulance. If I was writing my pre-hospital care report, I'm doing my vital signs and shit, you have to document everything. I was very into pronouncing the person's name. Like if they were alert and oriented, I was like, all right, so your name is da-da-da-da-da. And they would say, oh, you're so good, you know. Your pronunciation's so good. And I would take pride in that. So now that I'm on the phone and I do it, I get complimented all the time. It's like, oh, like yesterday, chick was like, wow, you said that so well. It was some Greek name. And I'm like, yeah, I had, 17 years of practicing people's foreign names, you know?
Yeah.
When you live in a fucking city that has over 200 countries in it, you kind of want to do that if you're working in the public, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway. All right. What else you got?
One other thing. Today was Force Friday.
Oh, yes.
All the Rogue One toys dropped today.
Yes. And it not only was it Force Friday, it was also, I think, what day was it? I forget. Something with WCW. I had it written down. I left it at work. But that, and it's also International Podcasters Day.
Yes.
And ironically, I'm doing 3 fucking shows tonight. So I want to thank you. Of course, I want to thank all of our networks that were part of Shining Wizards Network and the Rant. All of our friends that are not affiliated with networks but we're still cool with. Thank all of our peers and our friends who support us as much as we support them. And, and to the fans, man, you guys are the reason why we do this. It's not, we do it for a labor of love. It's for free. Well, nothing's for free. I pay for it, but, I mean, for you guys, it's free. And we do a lot of shit behind the scenes. And today is our day, so I'm glad it's on a Friday, and I'm glad that I got like 3 or 4 shows going on. So God bless. Yeah. So this is an International Podcasters Day. So hashtag it if you know anybody who does a podcast, give them a shout out. Do buy their shirts or buy their gear or fucking plug them on social media because they deserve it. So,
and today, 31 years ago today, we learned the golden rule,
which is
you don't take One-Eyed Willie's stash.
Oh, that's Goonies the Goonies, released. Yeah. Dude, did the 30th anniversary Transformers movie drop yet?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta buy that.
Oh wait, I think it might be November, but yeah, it's coming if it's not out there already. Let me just double check.
I got the new Star Trek movie yesterday. I watched that. That was really good. Star Trek Beyond. Really good. I love those J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies, man.
I haven't seen the new one yet. What'd you think of the game?
Actually, I got a little frustrated. At the beginning of the first mission, it says you have to arm yourself with a rifle and go, because now you're under attack.
Right.
We took because I'm a Klingon, so we took one of the fucking Federation guys hostage. And as we took him hostage, we beamed him aboard, and then a cavalry of ships came and attacked us. So I have to grab a rifle and go down to the fucking armory and start shooting Federation heads. I armed myself. I can't get out of the room. I can't get out of the room at all. I armed myself. I don't know how the hell to get out of the room. So after a half hour trying, I went and started Luke Cage, and that was it. I gave up. But I like the graphics. I dig it. I think it's amazing. I'm glad that I have it now. It's 15 gig. I was talking to you last night because I saw you guys, you and Rick were playing 2K16. I wanted to jump in, but you guys are on a different console. Because I came home, I was so pissed off from being fucking stuck in traffic for 2.5 hours. I had a second wind. So I said, you know what? I can't play with them, and I don't want to watch them play all night. That's boring. I watched it for like 10 minutes, and I got disenchanted, and I was messaging you, and I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to download the Star Wars game, Star Trek game. I downloaded it. It's 15 gig. So I fell asleep on the couch waiting for it to fucking download. So I went to bed. I was like, forget it. So I woke up this morning, and it's a good game. I'm glad I did it. So,
all right. So we got – it's out.
Oh, it is. Oh, 18, good.
You know, do you ever order from deepdiscount.com?
Deep Discount DVD. I used before Amazon. Yeah, that was my connect.
Yeah, they're showing it. It's on there. $18.99 for the Blu-ray.
Yeah, I'll get it Thursday when I get paid.
It's on back order though.
I'll get it on Amazon. Definitely get it on Amazon when I get paid.
Get it on Amazon. Definitely Amazon.
5 minutes. Kmart to Wapner.
Sucks. Kmart sucks.
5 minutes to Wapner. Yeah, I sound like a fucking retard there, didn't I? Jimmy, get the papers. Get the papers. Yeah, it's a lot of good stuff coming out, man. Metallica's coming out, too, next month. So dope. So dope. All right. Is that it? Are we good?
Yeah.
Any other news? Anything you want to talk about? Anything tickling your tits?
No. I'm sitting here updating the Google page and everything.
Google what? What Google page? Your Google page?
Yeah, just to see about the TNA sale.
Oh, gotcha. All
right. In case it drops, because, I mean, they're coming down to the wire right now. They're under 5 hours left.
I mean, we're going to be on till 5 minutes to 8 and then 8 to 9. And then if anything breaks between 9 and 11:45, then we'll definitely, Scott and I will definitely break it. I mean, we're pretty much taking over the rant tonight. So.
Yeah.
Would you have it any other way? Like, would you have it any other way to have us take over the rant?
Who better?
Seriously. And that's not even, doing a Barry Horowitz. It's just saying, you're right. All right. I think it's about that time, sir.
Yeah.
You ready?
I'm ready.
And now, here is your throwback of the week. Sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
So, I was inspired, like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, and I started. Normally, I only plan one or two episodes at a time. The only thing we had solid since WrestleMania with Scott and I was covering 2001's big event since the invasion angle. I gave Scott the ball because he was so – he sold it to me like he was fucking selling vacuum cleaners from like in the 50s, So you really don't have to – honestly, it don't take much to sell me to talk about old school wrestling. So it – but he was – really good with the input, and I got inspired by his hustle with that. I'm like, I'm going to just start planning stuff like a month or two in advance. And we had every show. We even have shows next month, but I didn't have a show for today. And I was skimming through something with All Japan, and this clip came up of Stan Hansen and Hulk Hogan. Now, we all know Hulk Hogan is a different person outside of the United States. I mean, obviously, he's still Hulk Hogan, but he actually wrestles. So I did some digging, and I sent Scott a clip. I'm like, dude, this is our throwback. It's a summit. There's a WWF title match on there. There's legends. There's like, it's even New Japan is involved, but there's no documentation. I mean, there's no video of it because I don't know why, but... So Scott said, oh, whatever, dude, we'll do it. So now, as I'm prepping for this, I'm jumping on some Facebook page of this dude who has, it's called Classic Japanese Wrestling or something like that. And all this guy does, him and his friend, they manage this Facebook page, and they connect the page to a Google Drive that has All Japan Wrestling from like the 70s to the 2000s. And I almost became unglued. It's like, holy shit, like amazing stuff, And I found some more matches for this particular card, and I forwarded them to Scott a couple days ago. I said, I'm sorry I'm giving you more homework, but I think this is going to be a fun something to talk about, because you know what? Back in the day, when guys went to Japan, it wasn't publicized very much because we didn't have cable. We didn't. All we had was the magazines. So we didn't know that these guys went there twice a year. We didn't know that these guys – the only time that I knew that guys were winning titles was when the Road Warriors won the belts, or the Steiners won the belt. And when the tag teams won belts, for some reason it was more publicized. And I know Flair won the belt back from Kerry Von Erich a week later in Japan after losing it in Dallas. So the only time I knew about titles was Flair, Road Warriors, Steiners. I didn't know nothing else about Japan until the early to mid-90s. Until we started tape trading, you know? So I try very hard on my downtime to look for stuff like this, because I like when the Gaijin went over there. You have to understand, too, there's only been like 5 Gaijin World Champions over there.
So Hogan, Lesnar, Hogan, Styles.
Yeah. Vader, I think. Vader, yep. Right? And was one more.
Angle. And
No. Angle wasn't champion. Oh, was it Dan Severn? Maybe Dan Severn.
I think it's Severn.
Yeah, it's 5 guys. Thank you. So, here we are. It's April 13th, 1990. I just started high school. Tokyo, Japan. Now, I have two different documentations of this. In the Egg Dome, which is where they held all the big cards, All Japan, New Japan, I have 53,000, and then I have 53,742. Either way, it's 53,000 people watching wrestling. And now, understand something. 53,000 in Japan is like 100,000 in the States. It's a big deal. And in the 90s, see, wrestling is still big in Japan, but it's not as big, it's not as mainstream as it was. It's the same thing here that happened in Japan. Wrestling fell off. And it lost its flair, no pun intended. But you now have a sense that when you look at these old cards and they're, you know, the main ones, the dome shows were like 50,000 people. That's crazy, you know? So they had what they call the summit, they called it. And so WrestleMania 6 was 12 days before this. Ultimate Warrior beat Hogan for the title. The WWF had to deal with All Japan, and it led to a bunch of cards like this against American wrestlers. Why don't we do this anymore is beyond me. It is what it is. This card, though, had All Japan and WWF wrestlers with New Japan guys, and it was highlighted, like I said, by Hogan and Stan Hansen. Blood would be spilled, ladies and gentlemen. Blood would be spilled. Okay?
Yes.
Now, in this card, in this lineup, okay, you have future legends, you have world champions, you have legends, well, they were legends by that time, and you just have an eclectic mix of, you even have Shane McMahon as a referee, okay, in the first match we're going to talk about, which was Jimmy Snuka teaming up with Tito Santana against Masafuchi and Kenta Kobashi. Kobashi became a legend. And this was a weird match, Scott. Now, I say weird because, A, Snuka and Santana were way past their prime at this point. You know? I mean, they both look good, but they were just way past their prime. But it was weird. I don't know. Was it the flow of the match? Was it the fact that Snuka and Tito teamed up? I don't know what it did. I don't know why this was weird to me. Does it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was just weird to see them together. Yeah, didn't feel right.
Right. I mean, it wasn't very good actually either. Santana at one point reversed the vertical suplex. He tags in Snuka. Snuka does his typical Irish whip with the chop. Hits Kenta Kobashi. It goes back and forth. There was a nice. If anything, Tito Santana had a great drop kick. You know, he always did. hits both Fuji and Kobashi, and then the flying burrito. And he tags in Snuka. Snuka slams Fuji in front of the corner, and then, of course, hits the Superfly Splash. But, I mean, harmless, not very good. Very, very typical match. Typical, like, you know, curtain jerker, I guess you want to call it, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
It was a filler.
Yeah.
I mean, my notes, I couldn't even tell. I don't know which Japanese guy was which, so my notes say red trunks, blue trunks. Side German by blue trunks for a two count, some queer move by Snuka, and then he tags in Tito. I don't know what the hell he did there.
Now, yeah, you want to add anything to this? I kind of jumped into it.
Just strange watching it. Snuka cheap shotting everybody like he was a heel.
Oh, that was, yeah, that was Snooker's way, man. Yeah.
You know?
You're right. You're definitely right about that. All right. Now, the next match I have written down here, you only get about 5 minutes of it on the, on the video. This match went to a draw. Now, the match, apparently, I forgot. I only realized it's like 45 minutes ago while I was getting something to eat downstairs. I believe this match is on the Bret Hart DVD when he fights Tiger Mask, the entire match. So if you have the Bret Hart, the latest Bret Hart DVD that came out a couple of years ago, I think that match is on it. Hold on a second. I'm pulling it out now. Let me see here. I thought it was on here. Let me see. I'm opening the match. This is a good DVD, guys. If you're a Bret Hart guy, even if you don't like Bret Hart, you know. Let's see. I think it's on here. I think it's on here. It's a Blu-ray, so there's exclusives. So, and it's like the match listing is behind the. The hell is it? I believe it's on here somewhere. I have to look, but it's on one of the Bret Hart DVDs, I think. There's a bunch of matches on here. Fights Hakushi. Yeah, I'm not fucking killing myself looking for it, but this match went to a draw. And you want to get into what you saw on the video, or?
I mean, it wasn't really much. It was. It opens up. Bret's got like a reverse chin lock on him. He suplexes Tiger Mask for a two count, goes back to the reverse chin lock. He lets go, puts the abdominal stretch on him. It was reversed by Tiger Mask and Hart. Hip tosses reversal. He catches Tiger Mask in the corner with a boot. Hart misses the second drop, the second rope elbow drop. Body slam by Tiger Mask, goes for a high cross body two count, and then it just stopped. I thought he had a three count, but it was a time limit draw.
Kid Human, I stand corrected. Yes, it is on here from the Tokyo Dome. If you have the Bret Hitman Hart, the Dungeon Collection, sounds kinky, it's on here. So whoever has that, you know, I don't have a Blu-ray burner. I would send you a copy of it. This is a Blu-ray. If I get a digital copy of it, I'll send it to you.
Okay.
But the whole match apparently was great. I didn't even watch that match. My kid watched this more than I did. But yeah, man. Apparently, this was like they fought each other a few times, actually, from what I read. And they, I'm sorry it was only 5 minutes, but.
No, I mean,
now,
not your fault.
The first version of Tiger Mask, we all know, is Mitsuhara Misawa, who had an amazing feud and tag team partnership with Kenta Kobashi. God rest his soul, by the way, he passed away. But I don't understand. People say that this match was a big disappointment. Well, this version, actually, Tiger Mask 2 was Misawa. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. People like was shitting on it, and I was like, I don't understand. Misawa's an amazing talent. So, I mean, Bret Hart has to go beyond the five moves of doom, you know, to hang with him, because he was like, put it this way, Tiger Mask 2 was the Jushin Thunder Liger of the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. Even when Liger made his debut like in the mid-80s, but he didn't get big until like the late 80s, early 90s. And at that point, there was already two versions of Tiger Mask. They marketed Tiger Mask same way they had their own cartoons and comic books and toys and food and shit like that. So Tiger Mask was a big deal in Japan. So they gave Bret Hart, who actually was up and coming at that point. And it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
So from what you saw of it, it was okay. I mean, it kind of takes the wind out of it when only 5 minutes of it, but you know.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a good match nonetheless, from what I remember.
I mean, it was like you said, most of it was just the submission holds.
Right.
You know.
Right, right.
But I mean, it wasn't bad. It definitely looked like it had a lot of potential to be a good match.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Did you see the Big Boss Man Jake Roberts match?
Yes.
All right, let's get into that. Go ahead.
All right, let me find it in my notes, because these are all out of whack, you know, with what you're going through. All right. You know, they start out, they exchange, you know, their pleasantries in the beginning. A little chop here, punch there. Boss Man takes over, hits Jake with a hip toss, misses an elbow drop, and then Jake goes for the DDT, and he backs out. They go outside. He comes back in. Jake starts working on the arm. Jake takes a back elbow to the face and goes back outside. Oh, then Jake, on the way in, Jake Roberts catches him and starts working on his arm again. He pushes Jake into the ropes, gets him with a spine buster, and starts working on his back. He hits the running leg on, you know, his signature move, the running leg drop on the ropes. He puts him in a bear hug. Then he goes to the top rope and misses the splash. Both guys go outside. So he grabs Boss Man's arm through the ring post and smashes it into the post. Punches by Jake to the face, short arm clothesline. Irish whips Boss Man into the corner. Jake counters with putting the legs up and then hits him with the DDT.
Did you like Jake as a face?
I liked Jake when I was a kid. You know, I'm not sure if I liked him or just a gimmick. But he didn't bother me as a face.
Yeah. I mean, if this was in the States and I would see Jake cut a promo or something, I'd be like, all right. I'd be more happy with it. I don't know. I just, you know, I didn't dislike the match. I just thought that it would be, you know, a little better because both guys can work, you know?
Yeah.
So, what'd you think of the match, though? You think, was it all right? I mean...
Yeah, it was a good match. It was solid.
Yeah, I thought so. All right, so now we go to Hulk Hogan in the locker room, cuts a promo. He mixes English with a couple of Japanese words. He knows Ichiban and Lariato and, you know...
Yeah, papai.
I'm trying to find the promo on YouTube. Give me 1 second. If you want to add some stuff to it, I don't know. But
I mean, I didn't watch the interviews. I was doing this at work, so I was kind of skipping over. Plus, the way I watched it, I watched it completely out of order because you sent me the separate matches, and that's what I was watching.
Yeah, there really no order. I have an order because I have it written down. I had the card written down. So I didn't send you the order like that because I didn't have it until a couple days ago. So, and we would get matches as we went along.
Yeah.
So, you know. But anyway. Yeah. All right. So let's get into this next match. This is an interesting match. Jumbo Tsuruta, who was a very popular wrestler back in the '80s and nineties.
Is that how you pronounce his name?
Tsuruta. Yeah. TS is like an S. Like the PH is an F. You know.
I just put Tiramisu.
Tiramisu, teaming up with Haku. That's nice. Tiramisu, Haku. I like that. Versus the very interesting tag team of Mr. Perfect and the model Rick Martel.
Right?
The interpromotional tag match. What'd you think about this match before we get into it?
Perfect. Needed to wear some looser clothes. I didn't need to see his junk every 5 seconds.
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking the same thing. You want me to take this one or you want to do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you got this one.
All right, so this is a pretty... This is like an international, fantastic / Midnight Express type of hot tag looking thing. At one point, Martel goes for the Quebec Crab. And then clamps it on, but Cerruda runs over and breaks it up. Mr. Perfect's tag back in. He applies an abdominal stretch, and that's what Scott was talking about, you know, the close-up on his junk. No one wants to see that. Haku gets out of it with an eye rake. Martel tagged back in, hits a vertical suplex. Knee drop by Martel follows a cover, but Haku kicks out. Hearing the Haku stories now, he's such a badass, and I appreciate it more every time I see him. Martel tags Mr. Perfect back in. Haku fights back, but Martel rakes his eyes, he's tagged back in. Back and forth again, hot tags, guys. This is how you do tag team wrestling. This is the epitome of tag team wrestling. Backbreaker by Rick Martel, goes for a splash with the second rope, but Haku gets his knees up. This time, he tags in Cerruda. Irish whip by Cerruda, and he back body drops Martel down. Scoop slam by Cerruda, then another one. Perfect runs in. He gets scoop slam for his troubles. Now, Haku is back. Together, they Irish whip Martel and Perfect into each other. Another Irish whip. A lot of slams and whips in this match.
Yeah.
Cerruda, then he nails the jumping knee that he did. That's one of his patented moves, the jumping knee attack.
And very similar to Triple H's high knee.
Exact same thing, yeah. This sets up Martel for the dangerous backdrop, and then Haku takes over and takes care of Perfect, allowing for the pinfall, the 1-2-3. So you win as a Jumbo Cerruda and Haku. So
you know what they had after the match?
What's that?
Tiramisu.
I was impressed. I liked this match a lot, actually.
Yeah.
You know, both teams very motivated for whatever reason. I think because they're good team. All these guys are good wrestlers, and that makes for a good tag team match as well. There wasn't like one guy that had to carry his partner. Every guy in there was good. Very good stuff. So anyway, your next match. Now, Tenryu has had success in the States. He was actually, I don't know if you remember this, but you remember when the Road Warriors turned on Dusty Rhodes? And
yes.
They spiked him in the eye on TV?
Yes.
Okay, Dusty Spike. I think they did an episode of that, too, on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You can go back and listen to that. They were actually six-man tag champions at this time when it happened, when it turned. So when they turned, they had to fight. The Road Warriors had to pick a new partner and fight Dusty for the right to get a new partner. And they brought Tenryu in. So Tenryu was the NWA six-man tag champion for a while. Tenryu has had some success in the States. So Tenryu at this point was a top-tier guy in All Japan. And I think he was their champion too for a while. I didn't look at the champion lineage, but I'm pretty sure he was champion. He gets to fight Randy Savage. Which Tenryu is kind of like the Japanese version of Randy Savage in terms of meticulous. He would definitely like plan. You know how Randy Savage, you hear stories how he plans all the matches out and what, you know, he was very meticulous. Tenryu was the same way. The difference here is that there's no glitz in Japan. There's no glamour in Japan. Well, there is now, but back in the day, there really wasn't. You had the streamers, but that's about it. You had trophies and cute little girls, geisha girls giving you flowers, maybe handies in the back. But other than that, you didn't get like the lot of the pyro. You didn't get a valet. You didn't get the crazy costumes either, you know. So this was a decent match. This is probably one of the best matches on the outside of Hansen and Hogan. This is the best match on the card, I think.
I think it was this match was better than that.
Better than Hansen and Hogan.
Yeah.
Wow. That's not debatable. Actually, it could be. You want to get into this? Do you want me to do it? It's up to you. I don't care.
You got the next one.
Okay. Yeah, I do have what though? Which one? The
Greg Honky Tonk Man Valentine
versus Kabuki.
Yes. Yes. Savage gains early control. Heads outside when the Irish whip is reversed. You know, he grabbed the rope and went underneath. Tenryu goes he comes back in, goes for a suplex, Savage floats over, and then Tenryu turns around and just delivers a series of chops to him. Sherry gets up on the apron for a distraction. When Tenryu turns around, Savage hits him in the back, starts choking Tenryu and punches him in the head. Irish whip gets reversed into a clothesline. Tenryu gets a two count. Savage back body dropped outside the ring. Back body drops Tenryu out of the ring, then dives off. No, reverse that. So then Tenryu dives off the apron onto Savage, and Sherry elbows him in the back. He turns around. Savage hits him again. He throws him onto the barricade, onto the announce tables, which are just very thin, like very thin tables. Then they go back in the ring. Tenryu kicks Savage a few times, dazing and dropping him. They both get up, and Savage hits a clothesline and chokes him again. Then he got a ref bump, shoved the ref down. Then the ref just comes back and hits a two count. Savage clotheslines him. Cherry cheap shots him. Savage dives off the rope to... What does this note say? I just messed up these notes. All right. Savage dives off the ropes to the outside. And then he gets him back in the ring. Ref yells at Savage. Savage goes back into the ring, and Sherry kicks Tenryu. There's a lot of interference, and Sherry was just, like, kicking him in everywhere.
Yeah, Sherry was all over the place.
Yo, she delivered that nice roundhouse kick, though.
Yes.
Back in the ring, you know, Savage hits his patented double axe handle from the top rope, gets a two count. Then he hits the elbow drop from the top rope, gets a two count. Tenryu gets his eyes raked. He backs Tenryu into the ropes. And then Savage got caught with a punch. Tenryu goes for the powerbomb, but Savage reverses it. High cross body off the top rope for a two count. Savage gets up. As they get up, he hits Savage with an enziguri and into the powerbomb for the three count.
There you go. Let me see here. What are my notes? It was a very good match. Tenryu was incredible. The crowd ate everything up that he did. Savage took it all from Tenryu, took in all the stiff chops and the clotheslines. I could have done without all the interference from Sherry, even though I know it makes sense. Savage had no chance defeating Tenryu by himself. That's the whole point of it. And like I said, Tenryu was super over at this point. It was a good match, though.
Yeah, and so. Squire says you have to admit his junk was perfect.
Well, you want to look at it that close and admire it, then.
We can go get a screenshot for you.
Yeah, dude, we can screenshot it for you and put it on, and you can fucking Photoshop that, you know? you sick freak. Where's my soundboard? Where's my soundboard for Squires? You're getting a rock. You're getting that.
You sick freak!
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So your next match. All right, so Greg Valentine had the rhythm and blues gimmick at this point. It didn't take away from the fact that he can actually wrestle. You know, the dancing was awful. The dyed hair was terrible. He got to face the legendary, very amusing, Great Kabuki.
Do you have Sasson?
That's right, Kabuki. Are you an assassin? Are you a soldier? I think you're an errand boy, my man. Truth be told, the Great Kabuki is not a great wrestler. Okay? Imitation being the best form of flattery, the Great Muta did get his spitting the mist gimmick from the Great Kabuki. The fans adored the Great Kabuki, even in the States. The Great Kabuki, the fans waited. The only thing that was great about this match was the fact that before the match even started, the Great Kabuki brought in his two sets of nunchucks and did a little fucking demonstration for everybody with his nunchucks. There is nothing good about this match except for the Great Kabuki. That's it. I have nothing to say. It was Kabuki wins, surprises Valentine, who dominated most of the match. Kabuki got a couple of shots in, but the fact that Kabuki so over that they had to give him the match, you know what I'm saying?
Unless he was fighting someone like Hogan or Savage or something like that.
Right. And at that point, they wouldn't put Kabuki with Savage because Tenryu was the top guy. But Kabuki was the legend. Kabuki was like 50 at this point.
Was he?
Yeah. He's old. He's fucking old. So, listen, you know me, man. I'm a Kabuki mark. I have zero issues with the Great Kabuki. I love him. But I could watch him do nunchucks all day. It was like a filler, you know. But Greg Valentine dominated most of the match. It went like 7.5 minutes too. he surprised him like a roll up, but you know, it was just out of blue. Valentine
yeah,
was
small
shot.
Package when yeah. he went for the figure four.
Yeah, he went for the figure four, rolled him up, and I was like, whoa, how was that? So anyway, now we get to the nitty gritty. Okay. I didn't know Scott didn't see this match. Did you see one? Did you get to see it or
which one?
The tag team match I was telling you about?
Yeah.
You did
see
it. You
also had Warrior versus DiBiase.
Yes, let's do that. Let's do that now. Where is that? So now, like I mentioned before, the Ultimate Warrior, new heavyweight champion, defending against Ted DiBiase, was the number one contender. You want to get into this or?
I mean, I watched it without sound and it was over quicker than it started.
Yeah, you know, it was a little short for me. It went 6.5 minutes, but it felt like a lot shorter, right?
Yeah, I thought it was like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, so DiBiase carried this match. We know the Warrior couldn't wrestle for dick, right? So,
yeah.
You know, DiBiase gets a padded knee lift, rakes the Warrior's eyes. The Warrior wasn't bad in this match, actually. He's better with guys that can wrestle. DiBiase chops him in the corner. Warrior fires back, no sells with the punches. DiBiase gets back the advantage, hits a snapmare and then an elbow drop. Another patented DiBiase combination right there. Then he hits him with a vertical suplex. I was like, wow. I couldn't believe that he got the Warrior. A lot of guys didn't get the Warrior off his feet in the States.
Right.
So that was cool seeing that. He tried to cover him after the suplex, but of course he kicked out. And then he hits a pile driver on the Warrior after the vertical suplex. And, of course, Warrior gets another 2 count. Chops back and forth. Warrior gets re-energized. Shoulder blocks him. Hits the trio with clotheslines. Then the body splash for the 3 count. Too short to be offensive. Yeah, too short to be good. The fans were into it, though. They liked the Warrior. So.
Yeah, but he liked the big guys.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. With no sound, what'd you think?
I mean, it wasn't a bad match, but like I said, it should have went longer. You know, this definitely should have went 10, 15 minutes easily. I mean, like you said, this guy could work. DiBiase was over at the point, as well as the Warrior.
Yeah. So, I didn't tell you this, but I found a gem for this next match. It's a 30-second. It's a Japanese commercial, right?
Mr. Sparkle.
Well, no, even better than Mr. Sparkle.
Ancient Chinese Secret?
Even better than the Ancient Chinese Secret. It's Giant Baba and Andre the Giant plugging this actual card. And the reason why I'm playing it is because there's English in it. Andre doesn't speak Japanese, obviously. Unless he doesn't tell anybody. But we know Baba looks like he's anorexic. But he is a legend in Japan. Like, he was a promoter at that point, too. So let's take you to the Japanese commercial with Andre the Giant and his partner, Giant Baba, who are taking on Axe and Smash Demolition.
In Tokyo Dome, Nichibei Wrestling Summit's latest news. Finally, Tokyo's Giant Baba and the world's giant titan, Andre the Giant, are teaming up. They are combined for 4m32, almost a Jiren-like giant titan combo.
Hi, recognize me? It's me, Andre the Giant. I might be back pretty soon at the Tokyo Dome. 今回初めてね、アンデとタッグを組むことになりました。4月13日頑張ります。どうぞご期待ください。Wow.
How great is that?
Andre the Giant.
Hi. I'm Andre the Giant. Like, he was all into it too, bro. His eyes were big.
I'm coming back to the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, I'd be afraid. If you saw Andre and Baba coming down an alley in Japan coming out of a sake bar, you might be a little scared. You might be a little scared.
Yeah.
So, did you watch the match?
I watched the match.
What'd you think?
I got no notes on it, but
that's okay. Hold on, let me just type in something here. Give me 1 second.
I thought it was a good match. Andre did his, you know, your typical spots. You know, Axe and Smash definitely could work with them. You know, they're big guys, they're strong, they just kept coming at them.
Yeah. So this was Giant Baba and Andre against Demolition. it was weird because Baba's just as bad as Andre in terms of moving in the ring, you know?
Yeah.
They at one point Demolition pounds on Baba, but Baba hits Smash with a chop, and then he kicks Smash in the stomach and then hits a swinging neck breaker. Which again, watching him wrestle, so awkward.
Yeah, I like the way he hit the neck breaker. It was what's awkward for him though is a height difference. You know, I'm sure he has to try to be careful where it's not two guys wrestling on the same height. He can really hurt them because he's so big.
That's why he was so over in the 60s, because he was bigger than everybody else, right? I mean,
yeah,
he was so good. He gets covered, Axe breaks it up, Baba tags and Andre, who punches Smash again. Smash got some terrible abdominal trauma at this point.
He got smashed.
Yeah, Smash. No pun
intended.
Pun intended, exactly. Smash tries to fight back, but Andre absorbs the blow, punches him down, doesn't do much. Axe tags and Smash. Smash bounces off the ropes because Andre clothesline, punches by Smash, follow them. Baba comes in and chops him in the back of the head. Axe runs in, Andre and Baba, Irish whip them into each other. That spot, like in the other tag team match. Baba then hits the big boot. Andre follows out with the big boot elbow drop, and then gets a three count. So you win as with Baba and Andre. It could have been a lot worse. The fans are really into it.
When Andre tagged in, the place went berserk.
Right. And Demolition had no chance of countering these guys. They were both way out of shape. Hold on. Bruce, what are you doing? Bruce is visiting. Bruce is visiting.
Don't bring him down, Bruce.
What's up, buddy? You want to hang out? Okay. Go ahead. Sit down. Anyway. Okay. So, you ready for the main event?
And now, the main event of the evening.
The main event of the evening. I do have a bell on the soundboard that we never use. I should use the bell. Where is it? Hold on. There you go. So listen. Hulk Hogan has had a ton of success in Japan. He was champion, right?
Was he two-time champion?
Yeah. No.
Only AJ did that, right?
Yeah, I think. But he was one of the five that won it.
Yeah.
And he's at this point, Hogan had some classic matches at this point against Abby, against Hansen, against Terry Funk, against who else? The Great Muda. A bunch of guys he fought. Now he gets to fight the Unsinkable Battleship. That is Stan Hansen. Stan the Lariat Hansen. Who at this point is probably the top gaijin in Japan before Vader makes his mark over there, if that's safe to say. And this is right, but you know, this is right after he went back to WCW back and forth. But Hansen didn't really get a legit chance to show himself in the States. Vader held the belt three times. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I got the list here. Scott Norton. Once.
Oh, so it wasn't Dan Severn, it was Scott Norton.
Nor twice.
Scott Flash Norton, yep. Former
Bob's, what, this isn't
the, oh, right Bob thing. Sapp. That's the All Crown, right? The, yeah, I'm not looking at it. I'm just
Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm. That I know. Bob Sapp, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then AJ Styles. Those are the five.
Okay.
Hogan, I think, won it, but there was controversy to it.
I remember him trashing the WWF title at that point, saying that the New Japan title, the Old Japan title, was more worth. Like, remember that infamous press conference he had? In Japan? Yeah. Either way, it doesn't matter. I know five guys have held it. That's all we know. So, Surfer checking in with us in the chat room. Hello, sir.
Hello, Surfer.
Hello, Surfer. Silver Putin, as he's being called now. Let's see. All right. So, your main event, Hulk Hogan versus Stan Hansen. You want to get into this? This is a pretty good match.
Yeah. Now, it was strange watching Hogan wrestle.
Always in Japan, right?
Yes, or trying to wrestle.
Right.
Because he looked awkward doing it, especially the drop toe holds.
Right.
And that was like his bread and butter in this.
Right.
They were both no-selling in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go outside and Hansen went to ram his head onto the ring post, but Hogan reversed it. And then he bounced Hansen's head off the table. Now, the way this was set up is you had the platform and then the announce tables below it.
Yes.
So he kind of bounced, and when you bounce, you go on your knees, and then he fell down.
If anybody wants to make a comparison to it, it's like how the old Maple Leaf Garden house shows were from the WWF back in the day.
Yeah.
But it had that big ramp coming out, and then the announcing party was below it. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Scott. I'm sorry.
Where are we here? Head to the ring post. Now, Hansen's busted open at this point. They go back in the ring. Hogan continued to beat on him, tried for a few quick covers, got maybe a two count on one of them. They go back outside, and he hits Hansen's head off the table again into the ring post. Then he gets a two count. Hansen caught Hogan with a boot, then hits him with this crazy shoulder tackle that basically knocks him on his ass. He gets a two count and he rolls outside. Then Hansen hits him in the head with a chair. Hansen then dives into the announce area to club Hogan, like he jumped down over the table and just bash Hogan. Picks him up, takes him back in the ring, and Hogan's bleeding now. Hansen goes for the multiple pins for two counts. They go back outside. Hogan grabbed the bull rope and tried to choke him with it, but Hansen wasn't having that shit. He grabbed the rope and whipped Hogan with it. He dropped a few knees to Hogan once they got back in the ring. He whips him into the rope. Hogan nails Hansen. Then he goes for the leg drop, but Hansen misses the leg drop, and Hansen got a two count on him. Hogan then hits a high cross body for a two count and then hits him with the clothesline from hell for a three count.
Yeah. It was funny because right before that, Hansen signals for the lariat but doesn't get it.
Right.
You know, it was, you know, like Scott said, it was kind of awkward, but once they got the flow of it, I thought it was a really good match. This side of Hogan, a lot of Americans, like I said, they don't see it. It's a nice, fun brawl. Hogan whips out some really good wrestling moves. Again, Hogan actually wrestles in Japan. That drop toe hold didn't look very, you know, very
so good. He did it a couple of times.
His back, Scott would say, his back suplex was good. His crossbody was really good, I thought. That was really good, that crossbody. Not his normal moveset that he wrestles with in the States. But is it me, or is it kind of frustrating to see him wrestle in Japan? Because of what he doesn't do in the States, he does in Japan. You think Hogan...
It wasn't. It looked like someone who played baseball their whole life and is used to that swing and then tried to play golf but was trying to hit the ball with a baseball swing instead of a golf swing.
That's a very good analogy.
You just looked all out of whack, and it looked like he had to concentrate very hard to do a drop toe hold when most people can just go in and just do it. He had to look at the foot, drop to his knees, and then kind of hook it. It just didn't look pretty.
Right.
It didn't look smooth.
So before we wrap this up, I got to ask you one more question about this match, particularly about Hogan. Do you think Hogan's moveset would go over in the States in terms of his gimmick, in terms of his persona, in terms of the Hulkamania, and what about NWO Hogan? Would NWO Hogan, if he brought the Japanese stuff over that he like the toe holds and the suplexes and all this other shit, you don't think so?
Maybe the suplexes, but you got to think. At the time is his rise in WWE, big men didn't wrestle, they were power.
Right.
So that's why if he came in there and started doing all this, it might not have flown. People, you know, wrestling was more like boxing in the days. It was more like an event. I mean, they came to the ring with the crowds around them and security.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the crowd would go crazy. It wasn't the show it was today where everybody had a mat wrestle.
I think heel Hogan would have gotten away with it.
I say no at that point because he was older.
I say heel Hogan because he fought better guys talent-wise in WCW. I'm taking nothing away from the guys he fought in WWF. A lot of good.
If he would have incorporated suplexes and stuff in, yes, but not the mat wrestling game.
I'm talking like with Sting and Flair and Nash and, you know, Goldberg, like Diamond Dallas Page, even Savage to an extent. He fought Piper. He fought Bret Hart. So I think he would have gotten, even if he would incorporate a little teeny weeny bit of it, maybe. But definitely, it's just weird, you know, but I have to, you know, almost agree with you there. So
yeah. Did you have a bit of news before we break off of here?
Go ahead.
NXT Hugo Knox has been released. Came through a mutual decision between both him and the higher-ups, and he's been released.
Oh, darn. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to wrap this up a little early because I want to get some more food and get ready for the 8 o'clock Ring of Honor All-Star Extravaganza 8 pay-per-view pre-show that's coming up at 8 o'clock. I want to thank everybody for tuning in chat room and on Ustream. And thank you very much to Scott for rearranging his schedule and phoning in. And, you know, that's what we do here. We have to once in a while, you know, move stuff around. But this is a special night, so.
It's just a sacrifice.
And you're sober. I love it. You want to get into the plugs real quick and then we'll wrap it up? Or
yeah.
What? Go ahead.
11 p.m. tomorrow night, Will Morgan, Big Tone, Hightower, and I don't know who else will be on the Wrestling Call-In Show, 11 p.m. Sunday, the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfa at 5 p.m. He'll go bring it up today, probably on Luke Cage. I'm sure he's watched it all already twice.
Yep.
On Tuesday, not sure what's going to happen, but keep up to date on the Facebook page, and AA will keep you up to date. But as of now, expect him and Tony C at 8 p.m. to go on the air with the rant. Wednesday night will be a new Thumbstick Ninjas.
Yes.
Yes. Thursday night, Mofo, Pookie, Doomsday, He-Man, She-Ra, Man-at-Arms, Teela, and Orko will all join you live on a recording, live recorded, for the Rant and Wrestling Show. And next week, myself and the big man across the 600-mile gap from me will be back with another great throwback.
Rocktober, baby. Rocktober.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
We got some stuff lined up. We're just going to sort out the details on what we're doing and when we're doing it.
Yes. Of course, like Scott said, Rant EM Radio is the spot. Check out all the good shows there. All the great shows on Shining Wizards Network. Like I said last week, they got Nigel McGuinness, and now they have Pat Buck. The Pat Buck Show is back. So check out the Shining Wizards Network between those new shows, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Strangeland, Southernland, and Shining Wizards, of course. Now, go to TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. Check out all of our friend shows that are not affiliated with the network. Guys like Midnight Jury, Geeks the Industry, Talk Brunch, all those other shows, just click on them. Post-match podcast, check those guys out too. I don't have a link for them yet, but I will eventually. What is it? We're at Twitter, at TBuckleTBacks, at KidHuman616. You want to email us, TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. Join us on Ustream, Stitcher, iTunes. Leave a review. Also, go to Google Play. We're on there. I mean, we're on a bunch of formats now. Geek Life Radio still. And we also have t-shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. We have 4 different designs, hopefully more to come. And I think that's it. Did I miss anything, Kid Human?
No.
So, on behalf of the Kid Human, I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you all adieu. Reminding you, please, 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 please take care of yourselves, each other. Don't say the N-word. Be kind to animals. Don't get arrested. And just be a good fucking human being, man. You know?
And wear loose pants. We don't want to see your junk.
No one wants to see your junk. Yeah, Matt Squires, you sick freak. Say goodnight, Gracie.
We'll see you in 5 minutes, Gracie.
See you in 5 minutes, Gracie.